Well, good morning, everybody, on this third Sunday after Trinity. Today, our service is pointing us in the joys and responsibilities of being disciples of Jesus. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth
Mouth
shall
shall
proclaim
proclaim your
your
praise.
praise. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. God of all, we have taken different journeys from different places, but as one community, we worship you with one voice. We praise you with our individual gifts, but a united vision, and we serve you in partnership, in fellowship, in joy, and most of all, in Jesus' name, we worship you today and every day. Amen. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. God of truth, forgive us when we try to fool you and others with outward shows of faith. We don't carry one another's burdens and deal well with difference. We think only of ourselves and not our community. Forgive us and help us to grow in faith, integrity, and love for you and the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God of grace, though we make mistakes, you draw us back to your fellowship of faith and welcome us again into your community of caring. You empower us through your gifts of forgiveness to draw others into your fellowship too, that together we may grow into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour.
Amen.
Amen.
Our first reading this morning is from Galatians chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our psalmist reminds us of what God has done and our response in praise of him. So this is from Psalm 66. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be for ever. Amen.
Our second reading comes from Luke 10, starting at verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. And when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you.' Yet be sure of this: the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me, but whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. When we think of Jesus' followers, we think first of the 12 apostles, those chosen and close to him. But there were more. This account in Luke speaks of the 72 whom Jesus sent out. I guess this was a kind of internship, a training time while Jesus was still with them. The mission was the same as Jesus' own ministry: cure the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God is near to you. Jesus has set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he told his fellow travellers that the journey requires their single-minded purpose. Jesus sends the 72 ahead of him and prepares them for what they will face. He sent them to every town and place where he himself would go. On his way to Jerusalem, he would probably travel through towns and villages where he'd not been before. Rumours of what Jesus was doing had undoubtedly spread into Samaria, so the 72 disciples were to announce his coming by giving people a preview of his own work. It is also a preview of the ministry Jesus gives us today. We go ahead of him, bringing his message of good news where we go. With his analogy of the harvest field, lambs and wolves, Jesus is saying that the labourers are few and the risks are great. Jesus sends them in pairs with no provisions for the journey, no conversing to those they meet on the road. They will depend on the hospitality of strangers. He instructs them to move on if a town does not welcome them, with a sign of judgment against that place. And when they enter a house, the greeting was to be Shalom, peace be with you. They were to travel in pairs. We think of groups doing missionary work door to door, always with two people, such as the Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses. We can assume that Jesus' directive was for safety and for mutual encouragement. If you have to do something you're unsure about, that's dangerous or risky, you'll probably want to have somebody with you. It's also a sign that they were in this together as followers of Jesus. The harvest is plentiful is as true today as it was in Jesus' time. In questionnaires that ask about religious affiliation today, the no affiliation is the fastest growing group. One of the characteristics of today's so-called postmodernism is that people come up with their own religious views, not wanting to be willing simply to accept what others believe. It's rather do-it-yourself, well-meaning mishmash of religious views, often from strands of many religions. Those are many of the people Jesus is sending us out to today. Jesus warned the 72 to expect resistance and rejection, and that's the same today. More Christians are being persecuted for their faith than in any other time in human history, including the Roman persecution of the first century. If not persecution, we might meet indifference of those in our increasingly secular society. Jesus' advice on the mission was to go light. In our terms, the equivalent advice would be, don't let stuff get in the way or conflict with your ministry of the gospel. Once you find like-minded people, work with them. In today's reading, Jesus instructs those sent out to accept the hospitality of those who offer it for as long as they offer it, eating and drinking whatever they provide. I wonder if we put ourselves as one of the 72, let's imagine what would be most challenging about this journey. I guess some of the things are predictable. Not taking any money even for emergencies. No change of clothes. No food. Depending on strangers for food and lodging. Not being able to choose one's travelling partner. Judging people who do not accept the message. But maybe the most challenging might be, eat what is set before you. Most of us might find it difficult to cross from eat what is known and preferred, to eat whatever is on the table. To eat what is set before you means to be a gracious recipient of hospitality. Notice how Jesus only tells them what they should do and doesn't say anything about measuring their success. If people don't accept your message, he says, shake their dust off your feet and move on. In our churches and congregations, it's difficult to avoid measuring success. We live with membership figures, giving levels, budgets, annual reports, and so on. It's very easy to measure our work by these figures, and that's how many people will measure our ministry. But that's contrary to what we're told in Luke 10. Jesus said, "He who listens to you listens to me." You've possibly noticed that verses 12 to 15 are omitted from this Sunday's reading. If it's meant to remove a stern note to make the text more palatable, then that's unfortunate. However, the lectionary compilers probably decided that these verses may well have been added into the gospel and that the story about the 72 reads smoothly from verse 11 to verse 16. In either case, the point of the verses omitted is that judgment and punishment aren't our business. They are God's. So probably it's just as well that it was left out of today's reading, don't you think? Verse 16 echoes the opening of the account, the ministry and the message we bring, and the ministry and the message Jesus was doing. What we do and say is about him and from him. Is there a note of surprise in the report the disciples bring back to Jesus? Isn't that because they didn't know what to expect, what would happen? And isn't that like our ministry, when we're surprised what happens as the result of our work? If we're doing the work of Jesus, then he is with us to the ends of the earth. Our reading closes with another note about success. We're not to rejoice about our success in our various ministries, but to rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That is, that we're part of this kingdom of God, which we are proclaiming. So finally, let us go forward with Saint Teresa of Avila's well-known saying, reminding us that now we are to carry on the ministry that Jesus gave us. She says, "Christ has no body on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ looks out to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless others now." Amen.
And now we say our prayers. Generous and life-giving God, heal our hurts and hear our prayer. Save us, O Lord, from all that harms us and damages our relationships. From arrogance and pride and thinking we can go it alone. From protecting our own interests at the expense of the needy. We pray for kindness to guide our choices and that we would know our need of you. May your Spirit inspire us to put other people first and lead us to share what we have without counting the cost. Generous and life-giving God,
heal our hurts and hear our prayer.
Save us, O Lord, from failing to hear the cry of a suffering planet and from leaders who ignore the crises of a heating world, from turning off the news because it is just too much to bear, from thinking our actions and choices are too small to matter. We pray for fresh determination to make a difference in the world and the ability to pay attention to what matters most. May your Spirit strengthen us for the work you call us to do in the world. Generous and life-giving God, heal our hurts and hear our prayer. Save us, O Lord, from despair when things are tough, from loneliness and hopelessness, from failing to protect the most vulnerable in society. We pray for people we know who are struggling with illness, pain, or distress. And particularly this morning, we pray for the sick. Steph, Jacques, Rosemary, Chris, Mary, Brian, Derek, Anne, Hilary, Brenda, Roy, Andrew, Paul, Colin, Stephen, Mandy, Brian, Gerald, Roger, Ian, Matthew, Sue, Cynthia, Richard, Jean, and Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, and Tiverton Hospital. And all peoples of the earth whose daily life is a struggle for survival, naming people and places in particular need of your peace, and especially the family and friends who have recently died. Rupert Pilkington, Les Tidball, and Libby Ford. May your Spirit show us how to respond and keep us faithful in prayer and joyful in serving others. Generous and life-giving God, heal our hurts and hear our prayer. Save us, O Lord, from looking for the spectacular and failing to notice the ordinary, from ignoring voices from the margins, from trying to fix problems instead of being faithfully present to others. We pray for the daily witness of our communities and give thanks for gifts shared and hearts that are open to one another. May your Spirit open new ways for us to serve our neighbours, and may we have the courage to do the humble acts of service you ask of us. Generous and life-giving God,
heal our hurts and hear our prayer. And the Collect for the third Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, you have broken the tyranny of sin and have sent the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, whereby we call you Father. Give us grace to dedicate our freedom to your service, that we and all creation may be brought to the glorious liberty of the children of God. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever.
Amen.
As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for, today and always. Amen. As we leave this place today, thank you for showing us how to love and care for others as we love and care for ourselves. Help us to be open to sharing our burdens with others in the weeks and months ahead. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Andrew. I'll just try and unmute everybody. There. Have I managed? No.
I think so.
You have to unmute yourselves, sorry.
I've done.
Right.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you so much.